The Big Story is brought to you by Scotiabank. Is there life on other planets? This is a story about the signs we all fail to notice at the beginning of the disaster movie. Or it's a story about how so many of us hope that there is life aside from us out there somewhere. Or it's a story about how easy it is to string together factual but unrelated fragments of news using social media in such a way as to paint a compelling narrative and launch another one of the internet's great conspiracy theories. It depends on what you want to believe. Regardless of what you believe, though, a lot of weird stuff has been happening in space lately. Those stories are true. And the mysterious object that's at the core of this tale, well, Harvard now has something to say about that. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Andrew Potter is a longtime journalist and author, former editor of the Ottawa Citizen, self-confessed space geek. He wrote a Twitter thread on Halloween, and Andrew, before we talk about the reaction to that and what it says about how we consume news, take us through the story that you told.
Right. So it begins with this weird object that came through our solar system last year, which scientists gave the name Oumuamua, which is, I think, Hawaiian for the visitor or something like that. And I've been sort of fascinated by it since it came through, because of all the objects that come through our solar system, the comets and asteroids and so on, it had a very strange orbit and strange dynamics in a number of ways, such that people were speculating whether it could be a fragment of an ancient civilization and so on. So I've been sort of following just sort of the data and the reports of the data that's coming out based on it. And I'm also a bit of a space geek. I'm an Elon Musk fan and so on. And so I subscribe to a lot of like space feeds and space Twitter accounts and so on. And I was sitting around one day and I kind of noticed that there had been a few curious little things that had come up.
Right.
A couple of telescopes went down. There was a very strange raid on a solar observatory in the United States that they sort of, the FBI came in, put up police tape, shut it down for a week, and no one really knew what it was. Everyone's like, oh my God, it's aliens. And a few other elements like this. And then as it happened, a report just came out of some scientists saying that Oumuamua is starting to look like a really weird object, and some speculation that it was actually maybe an alien probe of some kind based on its orbit and so on. And I thought, well, this is a little curious. So I said, look, here's some evidence that maybe this thing that came through was a space probe. And here are some things that happened in the year after that, right? So Donald Trump starts talking about Space Force.
Very importantly, I'm hereby directing the Department of Defense and Pentagon to immediately begin the process necessary to establish a Space Force as the sixth branch of the armed forces. That's a big statement.
Suddenly, our orbiting telescopes go down, and they raid a solar observatory and shut it down with police tape. And I was like, you know, do I need to draw you a map, right? And I actually kind of put up on Twitter a picture of space invaders and so on. And it kind of went a bit viral in a number of ways. First, a lot of people like thought, oh my God, this is like dead serious, right? And so a lot of conspiracy theorists jumped all over it and said, I told you, right? That Trump's hiding stuff from us. And there were a whole other people jumping on it and saying, you know, thank God the aliens are finally coming to put Earth out of its misery. And
right.
So anyway, it's the closest thing I've ever had to a viral Twitter thread. And it continues to go. It gets picked up every few days. It's been a week now, and it gets picked up every few days. And there's another sort of burst of activity on it, with people sending me all kinds of links and saying, you forgot about this. There's this weird stuff on Mars, and the great red spot on Jupiter is disappearing, and so on. So that's sort of it. I'm now sort of on the radar of the sort of space conspiracy theorists are out there, and it's kind of interesting.
I am myself a little bit of a space geek, so I see things here and there. And I'd seen a couple of these things, but obviously, like, not even bothered to connect the dots. But you used these stories to tell your own story, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. So another aspect of this is I've always loved, like, I'm a big fan of, apocalyptic thriller type movies, like The Day After Tomorrow, Independence Day, or 2012. You know, these movies that, you know, there's always some, like, family and divorced couple at the heart of it, and there's a big tragedy, and the Earth's going to get destroyed, and they're going to save their kids and all that, right? These movies all have, like, a common thing that happens at the very beginning, where there's always some kind of, like, montage. you know, the family's eating breakfast, right, and there's a TV on in the background. And there's always a montage where they say things like, there was a very mysterious explosion over the skies of Turkmenistan last night. And in other news, the power grid went down over North Korea, and there's some weird rumble, you know. And there's always like these sort of things that hint at what's coming. But the idea is, you know, we're faced with all this, like right in front of us is the evidence that there's like massive things happening in the background, but we're too busy with our day-to-day lives to pay any attention to it.
Yeah,
and I've always loved
you're Jeff Goldblum in this scenario.
That's right, I'm Jeff Goldblum, right? Exactly.
They're using our own satellites against us. And the clock is ticking.
And so I've always loved those little things, and I thought, and I had a Twitter thread I was doing a year ago where I would say, you know, this sounds like something that would play in the background of an apocalyptic thriller during the opening montage, right? And that was another little Twitter thread where you do things like, you know, the bees are disappearing and this kind of stuff. So I just kind of put it together as this sort of fun little thing, and it definitely got a lot more attention than I thought it would.
Up next.
It's a lot harder now than it used to be to tell the difference between what's actually, you know, crazy and what's someone who actually just simply knows facts that you don't. It's much more difficult.
You can save like never before with the Scotiabank Momentum Plus Savings Account. And now, for a limited time, you can earn up to 3.2% interest until March 10th. You can find all the terms and conditions at scotiabank.com/MP. How much, like, I understand exactly why people who are really attuned to this kind of stuff, and especially people who love conspiracy theorists, would pick this up on Twitter. But as I understand it, we are not the only insane little media outlet to have called you over this.
No. I mean, I got a call from a Bloomberg reporter, like, the night of, right? And she was like, are you going to write this? Are you going to write this up? And I was like, I don't think so. I think I just did. And she goes, no, like, do you want to write 1,000 words for Bloomberg or do an interview with me about it? And I said, let me think about it. I kind of went to bed and woke up. But, I mean, I guess because here's the thing, is that there's two aspects to it, right? The first is... this object that came through the solar system is genuinely strange in a very fascinating way. And so, you know, it's not just conspiracy theory. It's not just wild speculation to say, look, this thing comes through. It's the first interstellar object we've seen. It has a very strange orbit. It has very strange appearances, strange lighting. It looks to have a strange shape, right? I actually think that's a genuinely interesting avenue of approaching sort of the whole issue. Tying it to a whole bunch of other things that happen in space, I mean, the truth is, we're a spacefaring civilization in the sense that we shoot rockets up all the time. We've got space telescopes. We've got observatories. And they're made of, like, technological stuff that breaks down, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, a bunch of people jumped on me and thinking I was dead serious and saying, you know, the telescopes go down all the time. You know, those gyroscopes break. Hubble is 12 years old. Of course it's going to break. This kind of stuff. So part of it was, you know, it's kind of easy to put this stuff together. But I also think that, like any good conspiracy, at the very heart of it is a genuine conundrum, right? And what is a moi-moi? Like, what is that object? And what, you know, will we ever find out? I think is an interesting question.
Yeah, because we've talked about conspiracy theories before on this podcast with a psychologist. And, you know, his point was we just want to fill in the blanks, right? We see
right.
something that we don't understand and we want our mind automatically works to explain it. But what we were talking about that in the context of things like QAnon or Pizzagate or these things or even just flat earth stuff, right? These things that you can debunk in 2 seconds by doing a tiny bit of research. Whereas
right.
this is not that.
Right. This is not like one of these, you know, beautiful mind kind of scenarios where someone's got a blackboard and you know, it has all these lines and pictures and so on where they're drawing crazy lines, right? But it is creating a narrative out of some various data points that you pick up, right? That's out there. But what I think is interesting about it is that it's not really a conspiracy because I wasn't alleging that, you know, anything's really being hidden, right? I was
Except
just sort of
the
saying,
Donald Trump Space Force.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Donald, and so what's funny about the Donald Trump Space Force thing is a lot of people grabbed that and their instant reaction was, this is proof there's no conspiracy because Donald Trump can't keep a secret, right? The guy's like, just like, there's no barrier between his brain and his mouth. So if they came to him and said there's aliens, he'd be tweeting about it that night, right? He'd be like, oh, you know, believe you me, we got some huge aliens out there, right?
Many people say that aliens are on the way.
Right, many people say, right? And we're going to build a wall. So I was tempted to write back and say something like, you know, what if the entire function of the Trump presidency is to create such crazy media froth, focus on him, it's to distract us from the fact that the aliens are on their way? And I thought about tweeting that, and I thought, you know what, that's going to get some serious crazies after me. And the last, it's like, I was like, you know, I'll just sort of keep that one to myself, although I've just said it now. But I thought, you know, what if that's the case, right? Trump is, like, just crazy enough to, like, be the guy who's, like, hiding. So meanwhile, they're, like, building the Space Force, getting ready for the aliens. You know, they're going to install Elon Musk as Emperor of Mars or something like that, right? And the point of that is that every conspiracy, right, can always go deeper, right? So yeah. I say there's a conspiracy about Space Force. They come along and say, no way, Trump couldn't keep that secret. I'm like, what if it's so crazy, right, that he's trying to distract us, right? And so that's what's sort of interesting about the conspiracies is there's never a bottom to them, right? And that's where you get the X-Files, which is every year is just, you know, scraping deeper and deeper into the well.
You've been in the media a long time, including a long time at newspapers.
That's right.
How is what we see now in terms of the way we consume stories like this on social media different from what you've seen in your career in traditional media?
Yeah, so what was interesting about being a newspaper editor in particular was realizing how many people have very well thought out and elaborate conspiracy theories about just about everything. There was almost nothing you could publish that within a few days someone wouldn't send you like a big thick envelope full of, like, you know, the truth of what's going on. You know, there was a couple of people at the Ottawa Citizen who used to show up periodically with it, like, entire file folders full of stuff, and they'd want to just sit down and lead you through, like, the various conspiracies they had about whatever, right?
Did you ever get them to do that?
Well, I had one guy. I got caught my first week on the job in 2007. A guy showed up, and he said, oh, I hear you're the news editor at the Citizen. Can we meet for coffee? And I said, sure. And he sat me down and took, like, 90 minutes out of my day to lead me through all this stuff he had about chemtrails and the government and all this. And I went back, and I said to a senior reporter, I said, do you know this guy? And I gave his name. He goes, oh, my God, did you get nailed? He goes, welcome to the club, right? But it was always the craziness you could tell from the envelope alone, right? There's, like, we used to call it the crazy font, right? Like, yes. The conspiracy theories all come, and you've probably seen them, right? They all come, like, in Courier, right, is the font they use.
I worked at a newspaper, they would always come via fax.
Right, faxes, right? Fax is the other thing, right? The crazy people always have access. They still use faxes. And so you can tell them coming a mile away that they're actually crazy. And the thing about social media now is there isn't that sense now of normal mainstream news and then crazy conspiracy theories, right? It's very much a continuum. And because of the sort of the flat nature of the internet, the flat nature of social media, right? Every URL looks the same. Every Twitter feed looks the same, right? There's no, you don't get this inherent, the authority that goes with, or the credibility that goes with, you know, actually having to print something and sell advertising against it, right? And so it's a lot harder now than it used to be to tell the difference between what's actually, you know, crazy and what's someone who actually just simply knows facts that you don't. It's much more difficult. And I'm not surprised to see, like, you know, not just conspiracy theories, but alternative news, if you want to call it, right, flourishing in the age of
right.
social media.
Well, this is why we wanted to talk to you, even after we called you up and you're like, oh, come on, that was a joke. We're like, no, there's something here, because what happened is, and this is, I think, at least emblematic of so many conspiracy theories that flourish online, is everything that you put in your tale, you know, is legitimately sourced from somewhere. And now...
That's right.
There are legitimate sources for almost everything. So
right.
You have a recipe where somebody, first of all, who already has a name in media and already has a little bit of a public profile enough to, you know, get a call from Bloomberg, can look wherever he wants to look for the most obscure facts and then cherry pick those facts into a 7-part thread that all of a sudden, when you're not paying attention or if you only have a casual knowledge of this object that's passed through a solar system, you can be like, holy crap, something's going on.
I think that's right. And I mean, what's sort of interesting about it is as it happened, and I didn't know any of this, and this certainly wasn't, it makes me look way too clever. I put the thread up on Halloween, right? But it also happened to be the 80th anniversary of the original War of the Worlds broadcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a grave announcement to make. Incredible as it may seem, both the observations of science and the evidence of our eyes lead to the inescapable assumption that those strange beings who landed in the Jersey farmlands tonight are the vanguard of an invading army from the planet Mars.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either, right? But a few people pointed out, they're like, they got into arguments with people talking about, you know, they were like, this is serious. I guess, no, he's obviously kidding. It's Halloween. It's the world's parody and so on. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm definitely parodying.
Not that clever. What also I found, not disconcerting, I mean, because ultimately this seems to have been so far a fairly harmless thread. But what was interesting about it is a number of very fascinating threads started out of this. One having to do with, you know, if the aliens were coming, what do they actually want? All right, do they want us for food? Do they want to enslave us? And people going back and forth on, you know, the energy, you know, how much energy humans would provide to aliens who wanted to eat them and this kind of stuff. But also some very neat threads got started about, apparently, I didn't know this, one of the ends, the ending of the X-Files, the reboot of the X-Files was that the aliens came but decided not to, like, colonize the Earth because we were in the middle of destroying it over global warming.
So they just left. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. That's apparently the ending. And so a few people got into these kind of long threads about, you know, whether global warming is fixable and the carrying and how much solar is provided and optimal amounts of solar energy. Anyway, it kind of went off in all these sort of these spokes sort of started leading out of that original hub of my thread, some of which were very interesting, some of which were largely people saying the sooner the aliens get here to put us out of our misery, the better. You know, one guy said something funny. He's like, you know, how much worse could it get, right? We've got Donald Trump. So if the aliens are here, you know, what's the worst that could happen? So anyway, it's been an interesting little lesson in social media.
You know, I have to end by asking you if you think there's life out there.
I do, and I want there to be. There's this line that Christopher Hitchens had where he said, you know, it's an absolute tragedy that 9/11 happened, but if it had to happen, right, if there's some sort of necessity in the universe that had to happen, he said, I'm glad it happened in my lifetime. Because it gave him something, it gave his life meaning, it gave him something to argue about, gave him really, you know, he really found meaning in it. And I feel the same way about aliens, right? If they're going to come, I really want them to come when I'm alive. I would really be bummed if aliens came, you know, like 10 years after, you know, I died or something like that. And because I think it would just sort of, it would change our entire, the way our entire civilization thinks about our place in the world. Hopefully for the better, maybe for the worse. But if the aliens do come, I pray it happens in my lifetime.
What do we do if they ask us to take us to your leader?
I always thought we should just take him straight to Shatner, you know? That's always been my. We used to have this parlor game we used to play, right? You know, okay, so the aliens come, they ask you to send three people, right? Who do you send, right? And I was like, Pamela Anderson, you know, William Shatner, right? Like, and I don't know. I think Shatner for sure. You've got to get Shatner involved. He'd be the first one.
Andrew Potter, noted journalist, noted author, noted conspiracy theorist / space geek. And that was The Big Story, brought to you by Scotiabank. You can earn up to 3.2% interest until March 10th with the Scotiabank Momentum Plus Savings Account. Conditions apply. For more from us, check out thebigstorypodcast.ca. You can find all of our other episodes there. You can find all of our other favorite podcasts on frequencypodcastnetwork.com. You can talk to us anytime on social media at Big Story Podcast, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. If you are writing threads about alien invasions, please tag us in them because we like them. And as always, find us wherever you get your podcasts. Hit subscribe, hit rate, hit 5 stars, then hit review and tell us what you think. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. Thanks for listening. We'll talk tomorrow.